This is Upstate's Health Link on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Umbilical cord blood is the blood that remains in the placenta and umbilical cord after childbirth. It's a rich source of stem cells that have the potential of being used in the treatment of dozens of diseases, like cancer and sickle cell anemia. And here with more on this is Dr. Nicholas Greco. He's the executive director and the tissue bank director of the Upstate Cord Blood Bank. Welcome, Dr. Greco.
My pleasure.
So umbilical cord blood is an important source of stem cells. Help us understand what we mean by that, and what do we mean by umbilical cord blood?
Cord blood is the blood that remains in the umbilical cord in the placenta, and it's collected after the mother delivers the baby.
And why is it a source of stem cells?
It actually serves as the stem cells for the developing fetus, and then the cells circulate throughout the circulation of the baby.
So how do we get this blood?
It's collected by phlebotomy after the mother delivers the baby.
In what way? In other words, they literally take the blood from the umbilical cord and the placenta? When you say phlebotomy, they draw the blood out?
Draw the blood out with a needle directly into a collection bag.
And these cells have some very important potential benefit to us. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. They are considered a pluripotent stem cell source.
Explain pluripotent.
And I will. There are three types of potency. One is a totipotency, which allows the reconstruction of the 220 different tissues in the body.
So, okay, if a cell is totipotent mm-hmm. versus pluripotent, it means that the totipotent cell can be anything. It could be a hair cell, it could be a heart cell, it could be a liver cell. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it also generates the reproductive tissues. And that's the difference between a totipotent stem cell and a more differentiated, a more mature pluripotent cell, which loses the ability to generate reproductive tissue.
So it can do everything else but reproductive tissue?
Exactly.
Okay, so it can't be our reproductive organs, but it could be a heart.
Absolutely.
It could be a hair cell. It could be an eye cell.
That's exactly right. And as pluripotent stem cells become more mature, they become a multipotential stem cell, and these cells are limited in their capability to become a specific cell line,
tissue. As they mature, that means they are less...
differentiated. Be able to differentiate into different tissues.
They can't be as many. It restricts what they can do.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get to the bottom line here. I mean, there's been so much controversy over decades and decades about the use of unborn fetuses as a source of stem cells. And obviously there are religious and moral reasons why people object to this. How does the idea of a stem cell from an umbilical cord or placenta change this story?
It changes the paradigm completely, such that embryonic stem cells are not needed in this context of using cord blood. In the generation of an embryonic stem cell, a sperm interacts with an egg to form a fertilized oocyte, and this cell is capable of multiple pluripotency. A totipotency in only the first few divisions, and then it becomes a pluripotent stem cell, just like the cells that are found in cord blood.
So the idea is, if you can harvest all of these pluripotent stem cells from umbilical cord blood or placental blood, you never need unborn fetuses as the source?
That's true.
Well, that's pretty significant.
Yes, it actually eliminates the argument for the using embryonic stem cells.
So tell us about this idea of a blood bank for this type of blood. Why do we need a blood bank, and is this going on elsewhere in the country?
Yes, across the world, there's approximately 30 public cord blood banks in the United States and approximately 100 throughout the entire world. And many organizations are involved with collecting cord blood for this particular activity.
For the sheer purpose of using them for all kinds of new research and treatments. Is that
right,
correct?
Exactly.
So I understand that Upstate is constructing a new building to house this kind of cord blood, this new cord blood bank. Where are we at, or where are you at in that construction and that development?
The construction is underway at Community General.
On the
Community General campus, exactly. And we're actually engaged with the FDA. We have a meeting with them in mid-June to review our construction documents, which will allow us to produce a manufacturing facility. It's called a good manufacturing facility. in a GMP facility, which will allow us to produce a safe product for transplant recipients.
Okay, so let's understand more about that. Tell us, what are the kinds of treatments that are either currently undertaken using this kind of stem cells currently? Why don't we just start with that? What's being done now?
Currently, what is FDA approved as indications are all blood-borne cancers, so leukemia, lymphoma, multiple myeloma. And these are actually rare disease, thankfully. Incidence is about 20,000 in the United States, 20,000 cases per year, and worldwide it's around 50,000 cases per year. Emerging research and clinical use of cord blood is in all non-cancers, so cerebral palsy, type 1 diabetes, regenerative medicine areas. The purpose of the cord blood is to replace the bone marrow of the patient, because all of the indications, leukemias, all the inborn errors of metabolism that Dr. Silverman mentioned on a previous version of your show, sickle cell anemia, all of these diseases originate in the bone marrow. So the whole purpose of a cord blood graft, the product itself, is to replace the bone marrow of a patient.
Okay. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Nicholas Greco. We're talking about this new cord blood bank and what it will do. So I want to get a little clearer on this. So the idea is that if you have leukemia or some of these multiple myeloma, some of these bloodborne diseases, in order to basically cure this person, you need to replace their bone marrow, and you're going to be doing it with these kinds of cells. Is that correct?
Exactly. These are adult stem cells.
And that will eliminate what's being produced that's bad in their blood?
Right. All of the cancer cells originate from the bone marrow. And what the transplant center will do is with the chemotherapeutic drugs and total body irradiation, or the specific protocol for a transplant center, essentially destroy the bone marrow of a patient. The cord blood then is peripherally infused. It migrates, the cord blood stem cells migrate to the bone marrow and start to repopulate the bone marrow.
So they get a brand new bone marrow from this umbilical cord blood.
Exactly, and then they replace all of the blood-borne elements. All of the cells in the blood are replaced by the donor's cord blood.
And they're healthier, obviously.
They're healthy. Cured, right. It's just not a treatment, it's a cure.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's currently being undertaken right now.
Sure, there's more than 30,000 cord blood transplants that have taken place since 1988. The first one was Falcone's anemia. It's actually not a cancer. It's a blood marrow deficiency.
Would this be true for things like sickle cell anemia as well?
Absolutely. It is a cure for sickle cell anemia, most prevalent in pediatric populations. And actually, it's the largest group of non-cancers treatable and cured by cord blood.
Wow. So this will have an enormous impact on the Central New York medical community.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that. In what way?
Right. It impacts the ability to offer a patient another source of adult stem cells, in contrast to two other sources of adult stem cells, that being bone marrow and mobilized peripheral stem cells. And that's also a bone marrow product. So it offers patients another tissue type, another adult cell type, to be able to be cured of their diseases.
So it really will promote a lot more cures in this area.
Absolutely. But the tip of the iceberg, in my mind, is the cure of cancer. That actually is the proof of concept, so to speak, that cord blood is a safe product. Below the wave line, essentially, is the regenerative medicine, the ability of cord blood-derived stem cells to regenerate other tissues.
So let's go specifically to that. For example, there's been a lot of talk about some of the neurologic diseases, like MS or Parkinson's. Do you see some of these stem cells playing a role there as well?
Absolutely. The non-cancer use of cord blood, actually the largest group of clinical trials are in neurological diseases. And these are autism, cerebral palsy, hypoxic brain injury, stroke. Many of these diseases are neurological in origin.
So these stem cells that you get from the cord blood, what has to happen to them to make them ready for these kinds of treatments?
Now, that's a really interesting question, and that will take some time. But what we know at this particular point is that if you take selected stem cells from cord blood, in the right environment of growth factors, that you can guide these cells to become a heart cell, a cardiomyocyte, or a hepatocyte, which is a liver cell, or an islet cell. And so what this allows is a possibility that if you expand these cells and direct these cells, you may be able to cure various diseases.
That go beyond even what we were talking about, even beyond the blood type of diseases. For example, could you imagine someday being able to rebuild someone's liver?
Absolutely.
Or pancreas with pancreatic cancer, for example?
Absolutely. At my lab at Case Western Reserve University, we did specifically that. We were able to take cord blood and in 14 days generate hepatocytes. And hepatocytes are liver cells constituting 70 to 80% of a liver. And these cells are very important to detoxify all of the bad toxins that we take in, but also produce a number of very important serum-derived proteins, including albumin, which is a very important transporter protein in the blood.
So you would repair a liver, in this, perhaps a diseased liver in this
way? Absolutely.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
Let me get, before we run out of time, how is the cord blood donated?
The cord blood is donated by a consent process. We approach the expectant parents around 35 weeks of gestation, and we make them aware of the program by education. Dr. Robert Silverman has been involved with this in a previous era of your show, and is will be the medical director of the facility of the collection hospitals, and he's very proactive with the support of this program.
So the idea is a medical provider. I mean, you make an agreement with a patient, and then is it right after delivery that the umbilical cord and the umbilical cord is cut and clamped, a syringe is placed into the umbilical vein, and they, as you said, they remove that cord blood?
Exactly. The collection of cord blood does not interfere at all with the birthing process. That's an absolute requirement. It's actually a secondary to the birthing process.
And that cord and that placenta would basically be thrown away as medical waste.
Exactly.
And what you're talking about is something that could change the lives of millions of people.
Absolutely.
If we harvest this very, very, it's like gold.
It's a true altruistic donation. It's very similar to the American Red Cross when we provide peripheral blood.
So how can people donate cord blood if they wanted to?
Over the next year, we will be educating expectant parents at three hospitals in Syracuse, Upstate University Hospital Community Campus, Kraus and St. Joseph, and then we'll be reaching out to nine other hospitals in the central New York area.
So the word will get out, and people will be told and understand how they can actually participate in this.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Well, it's so hopeful. It's such hopeful news for the general medical community, but specifically for our upstate community. Thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Nicholas Greco. He's the executive director and the tissue bank director of the Upstate Cord Blood Bank. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.